Blog Talk Radio.
Michael, eles não ligam pra gente.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, still nigga down here. Brothers and packs done, plus everybody's high. Too doped up to ask why. Watching our own downfall, witness the end. It's like we don't believe in God, cause we living in sin. I asked my homie on the block, why he strapped, he laughed. Pointed his pistol at the cop car, passed the blast. It's just another murder, nobody mourns no more. My teardrops getting bigger, but can't figure what I'm crying for. Is it the miniature caskets, little babies? Victims of a straight from drug dealers gone crazy. Maybe it's just the drugs, business of how the block was. Crack came and it was strange how it rocked. Perhaps the underlying facts they hide explain genocide. It's when we ride on our own kind. What is it we all fear? Reflections in the mirror. We can't escape fate. The end is getting nearer. Who do you believe in? I put my faith in God, blessed and still breathing. And even though it's hard, that's who I believe in. Before I'm leaving, the mask and the grieving. Who do you believe in? Who do you believe in? I put my faith in God, blessed and still breathing. And even though it's hard, that's who I believe in.
Sorry, but I don't want to be an emperor. That's not my business. I don't want to rule or conquer anyone. I should like to help everyone if possible. Jew, Gentile, black man, white. We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. We want to live by each other's happiness, not by each other's misery. We don't want to hate and despise one another. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate, has goose-stepped us into misery and bloodshed. We have developed speed, but we have shut ourselves in. Machinery that gives abundance has left us in want. Our knowledge has made us cynical, our cleverness hard and unkind. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness and gentleness. Without these qualities, life will be violent, and all will be lost. The aeroplane and the radio have brought us closer together. The very nature of these inventions cries out for the goodness in men, cries out for universal brotherhood, for the unity of us all. Even now, my voice is reaching millions throughout the world, millions of despairing men, women, and little children, victims of a system that makes men torture and imprison innocent people. To those who can hear me, I say, do not despair. The misery that is now upon us is but the passing of greed, the bitterness of men who fear the way of human progress. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die, and the power they took from the people will return to the people. And so long as men die, liberty will never perish. Soldiers, don't give yourselves to brutes. Men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, and what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines. You are not cattle. You are men. You have the love of humanity in your hearts. You don't hate. Only the unloved hate. The unloved and the unnatural. Soldiers, don't fight for slavery. Fight for liberty. In the 17th chapter of St. Luke it is written, the kingdom of God is within man, not one man nor a group of men, but in all men, in you. You, the people, have the power. The power to create machines, the power to create happiness. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful, to make this life a wonderful adventure. Then in the name of democracy, let us use that power. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world. decent world that will give men a chance to work, that will give youth a future and old age a security. By the promise of these things, brutes have risen to power, but they lie. They do not fulfill that promise. They never will. Dictators free themselves, but they enslave the people. Now let us fight to fulfill that promise. Let us fight to free the world, to do away with national barriers, to do away with greed, with hate and intolerance. Let us fight for a world of reason, a world where science and progress will lead to all men's happiness. Soldiers, in the name of democracy, let us all unite!
A lot to cover, but I just want to play a little bit of that War everywhere. How many friends will we see that stuff? What do I want to dig in? I'm going to dig in with some news and notes. Also, shout out to my comrades, my fam, my brothers and sisters at the Black Council of Justice, with our great chairman, Brother Ishmael Shabazz, our field marshal, Brother Radu, Jamal Radu Gamble. He's going to say, what you messed up my name? That's supposed to be. Sister Renee, Brother Coop, you know, everybody that played a role, and Sister Funny, we can't forget her. The people that played a role and keep me up, because it's just so many pieces, and I would take all day to have to tell you what I see on a daily basis, but I definitely want to shout out to my comrades and my revolutionary fam, because they have been very instrumental in my growth as well. But a lot of crazy stuff. I'm going to start on the light note. I'm going to start on the light, funny note before I really hit with the serious stuff. I was looking.
What you finna talk about, National Sports?
I was looking at a post, and they gave the top 10 greatest rappers of all time.
Oh, boy.
Now, I just want to share this a little bit. I'm gonna go down the list and names. Billboard magazine, greatest 10 rappers of all time. It's everybody. Everybody's the best to ever do it. 10 people. And they picked these 10 people to do it. Number 10, Lil Wayne. And he'd be in the top 50, top 20. Number 9, Kendrick Lamar. Now, I'm a fan of Kendrick Lamar, but when we say all time, you have to have a lifetime achievement award. You have to put X amount of work. I can't say I'm the greatest spokesman of all time because I haven't been out long enough. But in due time, I will be the greatest spokesman of all time. And that's not arrogant, that's confident. But keep going, because it's not about me, it's about them. Number 8, they totally went left field. Ghostface Killer.
Okay.
Number 7, I got a lot of respect for her, but I wouldn't put her on the list. Lauryn Hill. Number 6, like this one, underrated him. Andre 3000. And 6, can you believe that? Number 5, Nas. Now, Nas is a Virgo. His birthday is the day before mine. They don't make him the greatest of all time. He belongs on the top 20, I would say. Number 4, I don't know where they got him from, but they decided to do it. Rakim. Okay. Number 3. Good spot. Eminem. Number 2. This had to be a New York poll. Jay-Z. And the number 1 greatest rapper of all time, I have no plenty of arguments with this, is Biggie. What's wrong with this list now? When the freak is Tupac? You don't have a 10 greatest rappers, and I had a chat with a brother that told me CeeLo Green was greater than Tupac. Now, I don't know what weed he was smoking or what alcohol he had been sick, but he said CeeLo Green. How do you leave Tupac? First of all, Tupac don't belong on the list with greatest rappers because I've always said he's a messenger. And a messenger and a rapper are two different things. But he was a rapper nonetheless. How could you leave him off this list? Now, I'm going to keep it on a light, funny note. I just really found that funny and wanted to talk about that. That is utterly ridiculous. I would not have had Rakim. I would not have had Lil Wayne even in the top 10. Ghostface Killer, love Lauryn Hill, but she was not a rapper. She was a rapper when she was in the Fugees, but you don't think rapper. You would think Missy Elliott over her. If you want to put a female in, put Missy in on the list. I think I said Rakim deserved the boot, and Jay-Z, he can't be better than Nas when Nas ethered him. So that's my take on that. That's a total crazy list. Who does these lists? Who in the freak does these lists? And then they say, oh, these are the 10 greatest. Tupac is number 1. I don't care who it is, Tupac is number 1 because of the importance of the things he was saying. Now, Biggie was a better lyricist. He was a better lyricist, and he was a more energetic rapper, but the importance of what Tupac was trying to tell people about this dirty government who's plotting all this stuff like they was back then. They still doing it. And they send the blackface to tell you, keep peace. We're just going to airstrike. We're not going to put boots on the ground. But I'm going to get into that. But ridiculous list. If y'all want to mention it, mention it. We don't have to get stuck on it. But I don't get that. But we're going to keep moving. Because it's not about 10 greatest rappers. But that's not 10 greatest rappers. But also, yeah, now. I've always said, and I learned this more and more when we deal with the word revolutionary. There's a revolutionary and there's a reactionary. Now, I also posted a post. I was doing a lot of posting today. And I am going to open it up and scroll and let you guys know what the post said. Is it not on my page? It was something pertaining to, and I will have to just give we don't have time for you to be scrolling, that's what's supposed to. But the post said, anybody who disrespects the black woman is our mortal enemy. Oh, what I posted. I said, and I'm going to read what I said verbatim. I said, let me break something down, regardless of who doesn't like it. One of our biggest problems is we have people posting black liberating posts without knowing the meaning. If you are a black man who left a black woman by herself after you made kids, you're a fraud. If you're in a relationship or married and violate that bond, despite what the slave master's book or any book of doctrine has told you was okay, you're a fraud. Real kings add to the value of the black woman, not take away. The first revolution, organization, teaching, and discipline begins at home, not on social media. So, I got quite a lot of stories. And one of my homies, shout out to my homie Johnny, he says, to the nature of, well, you're saying women disrespect themselves too. Women are the enemies of themselves too because they disrespect themselves more than anything. True. However, shout out to my boy. This is what we say, reactionary. Because we're going to get into this. But pretty much like the whole Paris thing, people were being reactionaries first without thinking. Because I'm not allowed to shout out to the sisters and say, dude, get it together. If you're talking one thing and living another, you're a fraud. If you are behind a black group or a black leader, if I'm the national spokesman, I'm putting all of this stuff out, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong when I click in. If I'm saying all of this, heal the world, make this a better place stuff, but I'm not living it, I'm a fraud. Now, by no means am I saying I'm perfect and I do everything right, but when it comes to the moral fiber of me and my morality, anybody that knows me and knows me on a deep level knows I walk what I talk. I'm not a liar. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not a cheater. I ain't perfect, but I just believe in the same thing of, you know, people say, it killed me. They said, well, the Bible is the slave master book. But then they want to have multiple women. They said, well, Solomon had 700 wives. Well, they also told you in the Bible, as long as you don't kill your slave, if you beat the slave and don't kill him, you're all right. So this is still man-made doctrine. And us in the conscious community, we pick and choose what we want. So as I meant when I said, you know, respect the black woman, if the black man learns himself and shows the black woman her worth, but it's up to that black woman to see her worth and realize the value of that black man. You can't make nobody do something they don't want. But I found that a very interesting article. And like I said, shout out to him. It was a great debate. But we have to really understand the true word of revolutionary and black liberation. Three. Or was that two? Shout out to me and my keeping the homeless warm for the winter. I'm doing a winter drive. If anybody want to donate, we're taking toothbrushes, toothpaste, socks, hand sanitizer, gloves, skull caps, whatever. And we're also trying to feed as many people as we can. Now, this is more so reactionary. I was picking up a sock order today, and I have a witness. And I was explaining to the guy that I was purchasing the socks from, I'm doing something for the homeless, and I want to buy socks in bulk. A brother sitting there said, "Oh, that's what's up. You feeding the homeless and you're doing that?" I said, "Yes. Would you like to donate?" "Oh, no, I'm straight." Okay. Now, this is the same type person. A white person can utter the N-word, or he's the one to say, "F them, they holding us down." But when you have an opportunity, I didn't say donate $20. He could have donated $2. That would have bought two packs of toothbrushes. Something. We always want to talk about putting money in the black community. But when it comes to standing up, you hear the crickets chirping. Reactionary. Now, as I slide into the subject, war everywhere. Y'all like the way National Spokesman. You better say it, National Spokesman. No, but seriously. And this is not conspiracy theory. Well, I want my people that are awake to let me know what they think about this. Because you can always speak this stuff to an awake mind and even seem like you make some sense. Now, last Friday, with no stranger or no secret, what happened in Paris? And the headline read, 100-plus people dead in Paris. Now, the most disgusting thing I saw, black people, white people, and I had a real racist powwow with some people that called me a porch monkey. But I understand. I didn't let that infuriate me, because this is what we not understand in revolutionary. Without closed-minded white people like that, I wouldn't be a revolutionary. You wouldn't be a revolutionary. The first thing we got to stop doing is expecting them to accept us, expecting them to air out stuff and show us and treat us equal, expecting them to give us the same laws. They haven't been doing it. Revolutionary, conscious people. We're so conscious till we're stupid. And if anybody got a problem, we can talk about it. But we're so conscious till we're stupid. We've learned the 42 laws of I'm smart. Oh, I know everything. I know more than you. But what does your spirit say? That's what we forgot. When we found out Jesus was a fraud made up in the Council of Nicaea, we denounced everything spiritually. That's what we did. We said we don't need anything because we got knowledge. You are dealing with demons behind these badges, behind these police cars or whatever, how Ku Klux Klan, whatever. You got to see the spirit of a person. It's like every true good spirit you have some bad spirit. So this is what I want, and I really hope I got some good people on the line that want to hit that one and let me know. We always want to say, all white people are evil. I stand and say that is ignorant and incorrect. Because to say that is say all black people steal. All Mexicans sell oranges by the freeway. We can't categorize a person and narrow our minds and put somebody in a category like that. If they haven't been back in the day, and we made it about the country, and I saw so many people pulling up stats from years ago, centuries ago, of what France did to this person, did to that person. You showed pictures of dead bodies of black. And the reactionary part of Kenya was everybody went crazy. What about Kenya? Reactionary didn't even tell you that was 7 months ago. We want to make everything about color. And I always say, look at the dragon and stop fussing about the sheep. We're fussing about the dirty cop. We know they dirty. Did we not know they were dirty when they beat down Rodney King? Did we not know they were dirty when they shot Sean Bell 50 times sitting in, coming out of the club, getting, you know? Did we not know they were dirty? At what point are we going to stop being so stupid, thinking these people are going to be fair? They've never cared about you. And first of all, you know, people think because I'm on pictures with Anonymous and great, good white friends of mine that I've changed, that I think I got the same laws and rights. I know I'm a black man. I know the law don't apply to me the same way because of the system we in. But we so ready to deem a man a coon or whatever. A coon does what Louis Farrakhan did when he said, well, let's not forget who killed Malcolm X. We want to get so righteous and we want to be so stand up and all black people must stick together. All black people don't want to stick together. You try telling me these Negroes some knowledge, they take off running. Get it out of our heads that we're going to magically bring together black groups. What did the new Black Panthers do to that elderly man? I'm tired. I'm tired of halfway telling truth. What did they do for their community? What are we seeing on an everyday basis? We're always talking about black liberation, but we can't even unite among ourselves. We said good. They said 100-plus people. It could have been some black people in that crowd. It could have been some black kids. It could have been some Latinos. It could have been all colors. But our mind, because white supremacy have trained your narrow mind, and tell me if I'm wrong, let's talk about it. You ain't going to get far, but let's talk about it. White supremacy, and you need to take that out of your vocabulary, because we keep talking about white supremacy. Oh, boo-hoo-hoo. You are saying that they are more supreme than you. You are saying that they are better than you. You are agreeing with everything that they have put into your small brain. We made it about color. And then out of impulse, everybody went and started putting the Kenya flag up. How many of y'all Negroes been to Kenya? How many of us have been to Paris? And I made a statement not being reactionary because when you saw posters, it was those people up there in Paris saying Black Lives Matter. We can't breathe, standing in solidarity for Eric Garner. Where were you? Were you on the corner when Eric Garner was choked out? We so busy seeing the poison, so we can't find the cure. It's going to take unity. If we're not understanding what this agenda is doing, if we're not understanding what that crooked blackface president, jigaboo of a president that we have is doing, we are lost. Black power is not just putting your fist in the air. Tell me what is black power. Tell me how do we feed our people non-poisonous food. War everywhere. Also, okay, so that's in the 147 Kenyans were killed. What did we do about it? I didn't know about it. Out of reaction, everybody knew about it. It took that for us to even know what happened to them folks in Kenya. What about Lebanon? When the double suicide bomb killed 43 people. People are dying. But we keep saying, oh, it's about our people. And the stupid white people are saying, oh, it's about us. We're going to just hate niggers, and we're so ashamed we can't even show our face. Wake up, people. It is war on everybody. And the white people are also under the illusion of inclusion. Because after they got through calling me Punch Monkey, one dude told me he was white, so he's not going to be in the agenda. Ha! You don't even stand the chance either, because it's the have and the have not. Doesn't matter what color you are, they're going to kill the racist white people too. They're going to kill the closed-minded black people, too. So we have to really just wake up from what's happening. I mean, it was sad to see us gloating I mean, Alexander Graham, that's true. Half of those folks with that French flag up didn't even know what they put that flag up for. Also, Governor Nathan Deal here in Georgia, he signed the law banning all, Palestinian refugees from coming into the state. And people are saying, I stand by Nathan Deal. I stand by what he's saying. Even though he's a Republican, I stand by him. Do we not know? Eventually, as I talk about Agenda 21, let's read that, revolutionary. Let's read that, everyday people. Let's read this, stupid white people that can't get it and quit being racist. Agenda 21 is a massive depopulation agenda. We don't have time for the bickering. We want to bicker about everything. See, they even have a list about the greatest rappers. We even got to bicker about who the best rapper. They make you bicker about everything while they plot everything. And then get you to vote for it. Ben Carson don't know if he's coming or going. Donald Trump is embarrassing enough. Jeb Bush goes on record and says nobody's deserving but Christians to be that narrow-minded. And I say we're so busy talking about France, we're so busy talking about Kenya, so we're forgetting we're in the United States. These are the first terrorists. These are the first people, racists. These are the first people that are vaccinating your babies with poison and that you're running to, not even knowing. But you hate the white man. But you got the black doctor who don't even know what he's injecting you with. Wake up. That's enough. I mean, that was just sad to see dead kids.
And people saying, so?
F parents. Not about parents. We're going to talk history. Let's talk history. But sooner or later, what happens when they turn those drones to us? What happens when they turn those missiles towards us? And then it's going to be F USA. The USA does not speak for me. I'm stuck here. If I could get out of here, I would. I am not an American. I'm not an African American. I ain't what Raven Simone say, because she'd be way in left field, and I don't know what's wrong with her. But I'm not going to say I'm from every continent or whatever she speaks. So I don't know if this is good drugs. We make jokes about, and I'm going to open up the line soon, but we make jokes about everything, people. We can talk about history. We can talk about all these things, but what happens when they turn on us? We're going to need somewhere to evacuate to. What do we think those concentration camps for? Put the pieces together, people. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying these people are going to. I'm not asking you to integrate, but I'm asking you to think enough to survive. Do we have any plans thought out? If we win the war, courtesy of my boy Robert Nagy, he said, then what? If we win the war and defeat people, then what are we going to do? We're so busy ready for war and ready to defeat.
I defeat all men.
Then what? So I'm going to go to the lines and help me make some sense of what I'm talking about. Oh, where will I go?
National spokesman.
Yo!
Hey, what's up, Terry? How you been doing, bro?
Hey, what's up, bro?
I'm good. Been a minute since I've been on, man. I like that topic. Like you said, war everywhere. War everywhere. You posed some good topics, though. But the bottom line is, how do we fix it? I know,
yeah.
Like you said, it's definitely going to take, to me, it's going to take two things, the unity and a reconditioning of our people. Now, how the reconditioning and the unity part going to really come together, I'm not sure. I don't know if you remember, but, you know, my envision is to get either reparations or some type of bailout on the federal government so that we can fund a reconditioning of ourselves and funding that, try to bring everybody together, you know, using the money. I really just don't see any other phenomenon that have come to bring us together enough to fulfill that without an influx of money. But let me know what you think.
Okay.
I know it's just,
I mean, you know, and we have these talks all the time. Now, the finances are important. We can't move without the finance. We can't move without that dollar in the black community. So where I say, okay, even if we come up with a plan, we have to learn to divide the pie and don't care who leads. You know, now we can't afford to bicker about, well, who's going to get majority of the share. These are things that break us down for building. Well, who's going to lead here? Well, whose name's going to go on the business? Little petty things that keep us, you know, from even uniting as black people. We have to learn to unite.
A lot of times when I talk about the money, yeah, that's what will come up. First of all, a lot of times when I talk about the money, well, who's going to get it and what you're going to do with it and who's going to mess it up? And I tell people, look, it takes a total amount of trust and humility. You can't be nobody trying to control the money per se. But, you know, there's always going to be a little bit of that. But you're right. People have to lose that spirit of being petty and look at the bigger picture. And hopefully, you know, that'll happen. I hope it is enough money to appease everyone and that finally some of these opportunities that we think we had coming our way are coming to fruition. Because like you said, without money as a vessel, a lot of things fall short. A lot of dreams and ideas fall short only because of lack of capital. So, yeah.
I get that. Okay, tell me what you thought about, like, what I was saying about the Paris situation. Like I said, I'm not telling people to get together and sing Kumbaya. If they don't like white people, that's them. But to gloat about death, that's something different.
Well, you know, the Paris situation, that's a complicated thing because it goes a long way back. But I don't really grieve and get off into things like that because, to me, first of all, they beyond my control. I like to keep things in a smaller place until I get to that larger picture, handle things in a smaller frame until we get to the larger picture. But with that being said, we got this global economy and global thoughts and the internet and all this connection. So, you know, Terry, you can study so many things and find out that Paris did this, the United States did this. Each country has its dirty list of laundry. Each country has its good attributes as well. I think I spoke on the show one time before and kind of indicated that I like to live and let live. And I think that's the same thing that we need to do in these instances. And a long time ago, when the United States started to push a global economy, these are the things that came along with that push. And once again, it was all about capitalism. You couldn't let the European countries have their economy, British countries have their economy, and we have our economy. Oh, you had to tie them all together.
Right.
And this is a result of that. And with politicians and politics, they play so many tricks. It's another reason why I don't really try to make any concrete decisions about how I feel about world politics. I listen to it. I'm abreast of it. But I try to keep my problem-solving solutions within in a frame that I can handle until that frame gets larger and larger and larger, which it does. It doesn't stay small. But, you know, I try not to handle the things that are beyond my realm of even really truly handling it. Because, like you said, if you're going to talk about certain things, you ought to at least be trying to be about it too. So if I'm talking about what's happening in Paris and France, I can't go over there and help nobody over there.
Exactly.
So I'd rather spend my time talking about what's going on in about a 20 or 30 mile radius right here around my house and in my neighborhood. Try to deal with that. And now when we get that unity that you're talking about, that's when we can start trying to really figure out global stuff. And I think, you know, like you were saying, it's a deflection of what's really going on. And unfortunately, the media pushes their agenda on everybody, willingly or unwillingly. So if they show it, If that's all they talk about, then that's what we think about. That's what we talk about. That's where the controversy comes. You know, if like you mentioned the rappers, if they that's just controversy for them. They know the same thing you know. They know that no way Tupac was supposed to be left off the list. Controversy.
Right.
Boom. That's all they wanted from that.
Right.
They knew that. Yeah. They knew that was going to be controversial. So, you know, they do so many things to deflect us from the real thing. But the real thing, I think the real things are the two things. It's the unity and the reconditioning of our people. We have been conditioned so poorly by our oppressor, our capturer, that it's a shame. And like you said, all white people are not bad. Unfortunately, we live in a world where when you get a large majority of a group of people that are either bad or appear to be bad, at some point you have to begin to call all of them bad, and they have to accept the fact that when you say that, you're not pinpointing every last one of them. Because I'm going to say this, black folks do steal. So many of us
yeah.
steal. That it doesn't make sense to sit there and try to point out the ones that don't. So you almost have to apologize to the white people that are good in advance, because when I start to speak about your race, I'm forced to make a blatant statement. I don't have time to really, you know, pick apart the good ones from the bad ones, and I know it's some good ones. There's a lot of good ones. Some of them with right white privilege, not white supremacy, but with the white privileges, they don't even know they're doing what they're doing to us. They're not consciously going out to denigrate black people, but just by the way they live their everyday life, by the way the system is designed, they do it to us unknowingly and unwillingly. Now you still do have some straight up racist white people who literally want to see us denigrated, don't think we ever deserve anything, think we're less than human beings. And if anybody thinks that that ideology is dead, they sadly mistaken. Because not only is it not dead, it's been rekindled with certain recent events, especially the stuff about policemen. You know, white people have always had a special admiration for the police. So now that it's war against the police, you see white people being more and more emboldened in their thoughts about black people.
Yeah.
Yep. But not the spokesman, brother. I know you got a lot of people to cover. It's been a pleasure. I'm gonna just sit back and listen to you talk, listen to the rest of your people calling in, man. I wanna thank you for the opportunity, and hopefully things will get better real soon. They either gonna get better or real worse. One of the two.
One of the two. Peace.
Okay, bro. Peace out.
Shout out to my boy, man. He said, black people do steal. People steal. This is what we got to understand. You tell me you don't know why people steal? You tell me you don't know Hispanics steal? You tell me you don't know Chinese steal? People steal. We steal superstar. But, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Also, I saw a story of, it was a compilation of tweet where this black nurse that was qualified, totally qualified in the medical field, said a white couple, due to their racism, didn't want no niggers touching their baby. And the wife was in labor. And due to the husband's ignorance, and let this little baby pass away. And I got a question for anybody that called in. Anybody, answer me this question. If you legitimately hate whatever people of color, we have white people that hate black people that call in here. We have black people that hate white people that call in here. If it comes down to this new world order that we ain't no strangers to and know that's going to happen, you see those jeeps, you see those trucks, vans, whatever, and they're coming towards you. And the only door to safety belongs to the person that opposite color which you hate. You and your family's life on the line. What do you do? I need good. That's a good answer. Let me know your honest answer. What would you do if your child's life was on the line in a similar situation? And that opposite person of that color that you hate, doesn't matter, because I'm not going to just point at my black people. What would you do? Would you let this person of opposite save your family? Or would you just say it's God's will and it's calling them home? What would you do? I'm going to take another call. Oh, well. If it allows me. Technical difficulty. Caller, you're on the line.
Hello.
Caller, you're on the line.
Hey, good evening.
Good evening.
How's everything going?
It's going.
Good. As far as your question is concerned, would I accept help? Well, first, I might not be like the one to answer the question in a negative way because I don't hate people of any race. So for me, of course, I would accept the help, because at that point it's more so about survival. You know, it's not about color. And it's not about religion or any of that stuff. It's going to be about survival. And when we find ourselves in those positions, a lot of people that say that they hate, you know, that they hate white people, or the white people that say that they hate black people, when their lives are on the line, I guarantee you they're going to take that hand, you know, because all of that other crazy stuff is going to go out of the window because it's about survival at that point. And it'll probably be a whole lot of wake-up calls for a lot of people, you know, when and if things get pretty bad. It's going to be a whole lot of wake-up calls, because I find that we are focused, we have our attention focused in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
You know, we tend to focus on many, many different things, but I just think just as a people, putting color to the side, you know, we are focused on hurting each other, and then after we hurt each other, we're hurting other people. And, you know, and it's crazy. And then we have the powers that are in control, the powers that are, you know, creating, that have created the disarray that's going on, and they're I did a post myself today. Basically, I mean, this is one big successful experiment that started hundreds of years ago, if thousands of years ago. This isn't something that just started, you know, and we were the subjects. And the experiment has worked perfectly, because the experiment was, if the people can become separated, and if we can use color as a means to separate the people, you know, first it was color, then it became status. We'll use status to separate the people. They're going to fight against each other. And as they're fighting against each other, we're coming through the back door on them. But they're not focused on protecting each other and protecting, you know, their livelihood, because they're fighting amongst each other like children. And, you know, people are dying, and unfortunately we're missing the point of who the true enemy is. The starter of all of this, you know. And it's like, in order to really see, for me to have been able to see who the enemy was, I had to be able to see who I was as a person, in order to see who the enemy is. Because it's like, if we don't even know who we are individually, there's no way that we can recognize anything else. Everything else is just, you know, like looking through rose-colored glasses, you know, you perceive the world to be a certain type of way when you don't know who you are, you know. So, but everything that's going on right now, you know, it's, I don't, you know, I've said this many times when I call in, I try not to watch TV because of, you know, many different reasons, but it's my personal choice because I want to be careful about the type of things that I take in through my eyes and my ears. But I did take a moment just to sit down and watch the footage just for a minute, you know, because I was like, let me just see what are they talking about. And it's like I didn't see TV, you know, I didn't see it like I used to. I didn't look at it, and my heart pains not just for Paris, but my heart pains for everybody, you know, for everyone that's in a rough circumstance and for people that are being killed all over the world. It's just, this is what they put the tragedy on TV and force feed it to us and like shove it down our throats. And they, you know, they use the way that they project it to us. It, of course, we all know that they're inducing the fear factor within us and getting our blood pressure all rose up, getting us hype. And then when we're, you know, we're looking outside, somebody might be walking down the street, and we're like, hold up, who is that? We've never seen them before, you know. And it's just there. It's for a specific reason. They understand that because this is not only, quote-unquote, you know, terrorism and all of this stuff. This is psychological warfare first. You know, the first war happened by breaking the mind of not only Africans, but of all races. It's been a psychological warfare. And then it's, you know, the physical warfare, it's spiritual. But as far as how things are going to get better, I don't really know. I don't really know. I always say we always have to take time out to look at the woman and the man in the mirror. Like for myself, I have to look at myself and say, what am I doing to make things better? First of all, at home, you know, with my children, my offspring, because they're the future. And, you know, work from there to make some sort of positive change. But it's a lot of corruption. It's a lot of hate out there. It's very sad. It's very unfortunate because, you know, the plans that they have is for all of us, you know. So everybody's bickering back and forth, and they're strengthening, you know. So that's kind of all I had to say, but good topic. Keep up the good work. Keep bringing the awareness. One more thing as far as, like, preparedness. Because when these things happen, you have to think, what's going to happen if, you know, something happened at our house? What would happen if somebody came to our front door? And, you know, I think we kind of need to be thinking of plans for our family, even fire preparedness. Like, what would happen if the house caught on fire? We woke up, the house was filled with smoke. What would we do? Where would our children go? What should the kids do? You know, we need to start, like, thinking about stuff like that and creating just plans just in case. Because last Friday, that was something that happened randomly, and that could happen to us. So that's it. God bless. Have a good evening. Thank you.
Peace.
Peace.
That was a good point. What would happen if something happened in our house? If random fire break out, this is where we have to shift our minds to the conscious, to the ones that get it, because the sheeple, they don't have a clue. They're waiting on the next episode of Empire. They're waiting on the next episode of Scandal. They're waiting on the next season or something. But to the ones that get it, we have to shift our minds to hating something other than just white people, black people, Mexicans. We have to shift our minds to hating this corrupt government, to hating these corrupt people that are poisoning your kids, to hating these corrupt TV shows that is giving the black woman the image of dressing provocative, giving the black man the image of he got to wear all of his money around his neck. He has to have a multitude of women to even be considered masculine and feel manly about himself. You see, biblical fathers out there eating booty like groceries, and it's okay. It's okay for 50. Okay, so, you know, this is how we, you know, we really understand that there's a homosexual agenda. You know, we have to, like my boy T was saying, we have to restore the minds of the people. Now, the internet went crazy when the gang dropped his picture in his trousers. And that sounds old, but you get it. But a true king knows his worth. He's not even going to put himself out there because he got a daughter. Black brothers, we got to wake up and stop living vicariously through LeBron James, living vicariously through Rick Ross, living vicariously and putting our kids on that field to run for these presidents, NCAA, who don't even want to pay these boys. They run them into the ground. They almost ran Todd Gurley into the ground. For what? Your average lifespan, if you are lucky in the NFL, is 5 years. How long did RG3 last? He was everybody's favorite quarterback for that season. Mike Shanahan and them abused him. They put him on that field knowing he wasn't. Why? Because they needed to make that dollar. Quit putting our kids in this position. We keep talking about the school system is damaging our kids' mind. Do something about it. I keep calling for us. Let's not wait for no Umar Johnson to get a school together to educate our kids. We can get dollars together. We have to do something, people, other than keep sitting up here with ideas and hating. Out hating them is not going to save us. Out hating them is not going to properly educate our kids. We can never out hate these type of people. They've been like this for years, and they have transferred this venom over to you. They've made you just as hateful. They've made you just as closed-minded. They've made you just as judgmental as they are. And we fall for it. We teach our kids. We teach our kids that all black people stink. All white people stink. We teach our kids to be closed-minded. We are the ones to stop this poison. We are the ones to stop this poison. And before I get back to callers, I just want to play this. I always play this as a reminder. And we'll be back as I take a short break.
Yeah, I love Elijah Muhammad enough that if you attack him, I would kill you. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And I'm not a killer. But neither are you. But if somebody attack what you love, each one of you in here would become a killer instantaneously. Am I lying? Mother, let somebody look like they're attacking your child. Here's a woman who fought a bear because the bear snapped her baby. And she ran the bear down, screaming until the bear dropped her baby. Love casts out fear. We don't give a damn about no white man law when you attack what we love. And frankly, it ain't none of your business. What have you got to say about it? Did you teach Malcolm? Did you make Malcolm? Did you clean up Malcolm? Did you put Malcolm out before the world? Was Malcolm your traitor or was he ours? And if we dealt with him like a nation deals with a traitor, what the hell business is it of yours? Shut your mouth and stay out of it. Because in the future, we're going to become a nation. And the nation got to be able to deal with traitors and cutthroats and turncoats. The white man deals with his. The Jews deal with theirs. Salman Rushdie wrote a nasty thing about the prophet, and Imam Khomeini put out a death
effing on him and it stands today.
And we're back. And that was the, I ain't gonna call him honorable. That was Louis Farrakhan in his 1993 Savior Day speech, talking about a black man. So this, so come back to me, and I'm gonna go back to the lines, black people, who say we got to stick with our own. It is our own that took one of the greatest progressive thinkers out. It is our own who stood right there in that clip I just played and bragged about a man dying. It's our own that called him a traitor and a turncoat for telling the truth and standing for morals. So we got to not be so caught up in our blackness till we mixed up. If we understand him picking up L. Ron Hubbard's teachings, then figure out who L. Ron Hubbard is if we don't know. L. Ron, letter L, R-O-N, Hubbard, H-U-B-B-A-R-D, Scientology. Dr. Sebi is a great doctor. Shout out to Dr. Sebi. He said he has the cure for AIDS. He has the cure for almost anything. He said when he made these discoveries, he was happy. He just knew he was going to be able to go to Al Sharpton. He just knew he was going to be able to go to Louis Farrakhan. He said they wouldn't even return his call because they don't care about the health of black people. Get up off of that Louis Farrakhan train. Farrakhan, he conning you. Get up off of that train. Save ourselves. It's up to us.
Did you teach me, Malcolm? Did you clean Malcolm? Did you comb my comb over? Who moved my comb?
Oh, phony. And I don't care if I have none of his listeners. Press that one, and I tell you he's phony. But I'm going to go to a call. I get mad about that. Caller, you are on the line.
Hello?
860. Hey, how you doing, bro?
What's up, man? What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, man?
All right, all right. I was listening for a minute, listening to the different subject matter and what have you. You know.
Okay, what you got?
I was in last week, too. Yeah, it was a good call last week. But I wanted to hit a few points. First, I want to say what's up to everybody that's on the line because, you know, you the ones that spread the word and, you know, hopefully get the phone calls flooded, you know, get more listeners and whatnot. So, yes, big up to y'all and everybody out, you know, in Connecticut, Hartford, New Britain, the whole tri-state. First, I want to say when I got on, I think you were talking about the whole the unity thing and whatnot, and this racism thing that's plaguing us right now, this division. you know, being multiracial myself, you know, I've experienced you know, all type of discrimination. Plus, working with kids too, you don't see a lot of men working with children, so I was kind of a taboo, you know, feature in the daycare when I first started working with kids. So, you know, there's all type of isms that we deal with. It's not just racism. It's all type of isms. People don't like me because I got dreads. People don't like you because of this. It's silly, and it's something that's plaguing us. And, you know, we need to think about America's a melting pot, first of all. You know what I mean? You got all type of ethnicities. You got all every color under the sun on this piece of land right here. So, you know, we really got to just get over that it's primitive mentality. You know what I mean? I come from a diverse family. My family's originally from Jamaica, but I was born in Hartford. So, you know, I've experienced both sides of the totem pole. You know what I mean? I was too light to be black, too dark to be white. You feel me? You know, you think about it, it's just stupid. It's all, like I said, it's primitive mentality. When we evolve from that primitive mentality and understand like Motor Technique said, he said, as much as racism bleeds America, we need to understand that classism is the real issue.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All in the same boat and it's sinking while these bougie punks, mothers, you know what, ride on the luxury liner. You know, the Quomodo technique. So, you know, it's just stupid. We all, you know, the dollar is green at the end of the day. It's a piece of paper. Everybody got to pay bills. You know, everybody. I was like, yo, look at Edward Snowden and Julian Assange right. and these dudes. They're white. They didn't get a free pass. I seen black cops mistreat white people. Kelly Thomas, you know what I mean? They beat white women. They beat kids. They shoot dogs. So, you know, and it's silly. Like, we can't pick sides and say, oh, let's change our profile picture to Paris. You know what I mean? And I think a lot of that is just fear, hype, and you know, I you know, it's silly.
Because that's right, brother. Because my thing was with the whole profile changing, what did that solve? What did we actually get solved? Did that help the people? Did that help the lives? You know, we turned on each other. We made it about Kenya, and we made it about Paris, and we made it about who died the worst. When and not thinking, people died anyway. Like I said, we didn't even mention what happened in Lebanon. We didn't even mention what happened in Beirut.
Yeah, exactly. Or any other place you want to think about. You know what I mean? I mean, it happens every day. We've been in Iraq and Afghanistan for what, 14 years now? So, you know, it's propaganda, I feel. I saw a few videos, and this is where I'm confused at, because I saw a few videos showing that there was no type of damage or no bloodshed or what have you. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, a false flag is something that was premeditated, you know what I mean? So, I mean, we could talk about 9/11 all day, but, and I think a lot of this is the result of 9/11 and trying to push the racial divide and whatnot, trying to push that, the religious agenda. And I think that's why religion is, in my opinion, not to diss anybody. You know, like I said, I got Christian friends, I got Muslim friends, but myself, from my personal point of view, I don't believe in any religion. I don't identify with any religion. You know, I don't read the Bible. I don't go to church, and I'm not to knock anybody that does. You know, we all free to choose. Hey, do you? But I think that's one of the problems, for real. George Carlin, he said, I don't want to be part of a group where you got to wear a hat or you can't wear a hat, and this group want to kill, they say, oh, God bless America. He's like, why would God bless America? You know what I'm saying? Does God have his favorites? You know what I mean? Like this pride, national pride, he said, that's going to be our downfall. You know what I mean? We can't be prideful of something that happened by genetic accident. You're supposed to reserve pride for something that you accomplish in life. And that's what people are bugged out with that, man.
Appreciate that, man.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the reality of it. Like you said, you don't want to diss religion, but if we look at religion as a whole, it's a control mechanism. I don't believe in church either. I don't believe in the Bible, full, ironclad, solid, all true, book it, everything's right. I don't believe that. I'm not telling people not to believe that because you're entitled to your beliefs. I'm entitled to mine. But the thing that we have to look at with religion, after we look at the grand scheme of how much money they pull in, we have to look at how it's a control mechanism. The Muslims believe you got to take their way. And as me and my boy Eddie Belafonte always talk about, you know, he's Jehovah's Witness, and he ain't ashamed of that. And that's still my boy. We can be friends no matter what denomination. And as I told him, I said, there's not going to be different. If there is heaven, I don't know if it is heaven, but I don't believe that there is this land of milk and honey that we are waiting to inherit in the sky. I don't believe in that fairy tale. I believe that there's another dimension, there's another realm, possibly, that our spirit will ascend to. But I don't believe in this fiery place down in the ground that if you don't be, hell, we're catching hell right now. So the thing that I push toward morality, brothers, when I say brothers, we got to turn away from the sex, because there's a soul tie connected to every person. Sisters, you got to learn the value of your body and don't just give it up for anything. We want these things because the flesh is weak. We have to learn to if we are a godly, spiritual people, we have to learn to talk like it. If there was a God, would that God talk like you? Would that God treat people like you? You have to be godly in your own manner. You're not God Almighty. You're not the creator of life, but you have to be a best representation of how would you want your kids to be? How would you want your kids to treat people? Would you want your people to, your kids to mistreat people based on how they look, how they walk, how they talk, how they dress? I mean, all this, I don't believe in Christmas, because what we do is we condition our kids. Oh, what's Santa Claus get to? He coming down the chimney, and we allow our kids to believe this stuff. And never even think, if you're living in the projects, you don't have no damn chimney. Think. And we allow all of this rhetoric and all of this foolishness to be told to our kids. We have to clean ourselves up. And people always say, well, I ain't perfect. I'm not where you at. I'm not perfect either. But I understood that I can't just lay down with any woman. Any woman don't deserve this. I'm not the greatest looking man, but I am quite handsome. Shout out to me. But I do have my choice. You know, so we have to learn to push away from things. We have to learn not to worship things. We get cars and we worship these cars. We get TV, we worship the TV. I saw, and I'm going to get back to my caller because I see my line getting back up, but I saw Ironhead. Jermaine Jackson. Oh, this guy is straight off Looney Tunes planet, and I don't know what he is on his mind, but he said, you know I do impressions. He said, I'm Jermaine Jackson, and I've sold as many, many records as Michael. Michael who? Michael Jordan? I mean, and he had a worship. I think this was Wife Swap or something. Yeah. And he had a worship for his clothes. He said, I don't wear shirts every night. I don't wear the same shirt once. He in his mind, he is so large. He is larger than life. You can't tell him. He ain't Nino Brown. He ain't whoever he want to be. He ain't Batman. He ain't whoever. He is him. But my point I'm making, he has a worship for clothes. We talk about Diddy Network. We talk about the Game Network. We talk about T.I. Network. But do these people know they self-worth? Are you teaching your kids self-worth? War everywhere, people. They are waging war, and we are being silly. We're being caught up on things. We're being caught up on looks. We're being caught up on, like my boy just got through saying, all kind of isms. Fascism, classism, racism, ism-ism. You know, everything. If it ends with ism, we want it. We got to open our minds better. And I'm going to get back to callers, but I just have to paint the picture to y'all because I can't call y'all one-on-one. I would. But, oh, well, will I go? Oh, where will I go? I know where I'm going. Where is he? My buddy. Let me go. Yo, caller, you are on.
What's up, man?
What's up, man?
Oh, man, just said that, checking out the show. You got some pretty good comments coming on up through there, you heard me?
Okay, I heard.
I want to clarify something, you know, not to down talk my belief or anything like that, but it's just like anything, you know, in order to be within an organization, you either got to be baptized and take some type of oath. So
okay.
I was not baptized in Jehovah's Witness or taking any oath in no organization or whatnot. So the teaching is what I am learning for right now. You know what I'm saying? I can't say whether or not I'm going to, you know, say I'm going to be that. But I do have respect for them because that's like, you know, you might see the Muslim out there, you know, trying to get someone to attend some of the meetings that they have at the mosque or whatnot. And what I respect about this organization is that they put themselves out on the line going door to door where, you know, each home, you know what I'm saying, you don't know what's behind those doors, you know what I'm saying, so you subject yourself to whatever comes to that door to preach the gospel, you know what I'm talking about?
Agreed.
And another thing, too, is the one that I have, you know, spoken with or, you know, going to the Kingdom Hall or whatever, because I don't go a lot, but, you know, when I do decide that I want to attend, that they embrace you with love and warmth or whatnot. And I haven't seen anyone that speak profane, even though I'm not around them every day, but you know what I'm saying? They carry themselves clean. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, and they all believe the same way. So when you attend they meetings or whatever, it's not like you going to the church and the preacher stand up in the pulpit screaming and yelling and hollering going on. They got tambourines and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Not to knock anybody religion also, but, you know, that all of that's not called for. You're there to get the word. You're there to learn, and they raise their hands, and they give their comments or whatnot or what they have learned or whatever the topic is. Just like how you get online or, for instance, you got the show going on tonight, right? And
right.
You set the topic. And you get your topic, and then you give people a chance to come online and speak their opinions or, you know, whatever they have researched or learned or just their life experience. Same thing goes on in there. You know what I'm talking about? But, you know, shout out to you, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm digging your movement. And like I told you before, you know what I'm saying? You're a messenger for man and a warrior for God. And anybody who's speaking anything is righteous. Then you are considered a messenger for man and a warrior for God. And a Rastafari told me that, you know, since years ago. But, you know, far as, you know, the Paris and the Kenya, you know what I mean, concern, that right there in itself, you know, lives have been lost. And within Kenya or Paris, Kenya, I'm pretty sure they got white people over there. Paris, you know they got some black people. It's black people and white people all over this world, this globe. You know what I'm talking about? And children, people, period, have lost their lives. And I'm seeing this on Facebook. I see it on Instagram and whatnot. And they got these flag up and stuff like that. And I'm like, well, they jump on anything that they feel that's, you know, popping right now. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, real. I, for one, don't get caught up in all that. You know, I post my little stuff, you know, what you see on my page. I have some real stuff going on, and then I have some little comedy, funny stuff, or whatever like that. You know what I mean? But I don't get too into stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Until someone finds a solution to the problem, we already know the problem is, you know what I'm saying? So, you can't fight war. I mean, you can't fight violence with violence. You know what I'm saying? You got to have some peace in there. And I remember a long time ago what Tupac said, and I know you remember that he said, you can't just turn me off like that. You know what I'm saying? I'm your child. You can't just turn me off like that. So us being in America, we are considered American children. You know what I'm saying? And what I mean by that, if you raise a child in your own home, and you teach your child hate, how you think your offspring is going to be in your home? They're gonna act just like the parent is. You know, they're going to act hate. Or if you teach them love, they're going to practice love. So if they practice all this corruption that they, you know, putting out down in the news or whatever like that, putting fear and putting scare tactics in this, how do you think the citizen going to be? What you think they going to do? That's why you see kids and rebellious and stuff like that, you know what I'm saying, out here terrorizing people. This is what they have taught us. You know what I'm saying? This is what they teach you around the world. You know, it's not just America, but in other countries. We don't live in other countries and know what the hell they got going on over there. You know what I'm saying? We don't stay in Paris. We don't stay in Kenya. We don't stay in Afghanistan. We don't stay in Jamaica. But the same stuff goes on in their own home that's going on over here in our own home. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And just like I was saying, that you got good people, you got bad people. Our own race wage war on our own race. White people deal with the same thing. Islam people, they go to war with Islam people. They don't tell you that, but you know what I'm saying, they go to war with each other too out of disagreement. We all created different, man. We all got our own opinions. Some of us could come into an agreement, you know, I understand that, you know, that was right on or whatnot. You know what I'm saying? Some, but I disagree with you. And so in a disagreement, they'll have some aggression behind it, or they'll turn their back and just, you know, let whatever that is be, you know what I'm saying? But some people might disagree, and they might try to force what they believe on you. You know what I'm saying? But as far as that rap thing you were saying earlier, man, I don't know what they were talking about, man. they was just like, who wrote that down? I mean, who was doing the research on that? You know what I'm saying?
I think Jay-Z might have did that list.
Oh, Jay-Z?
Yeah.
I didn't, what's his name in the list?
Yeah, he was number two.
Man, that's so crazy. And I wanted to say this before I get off. Jay-Z was a drug dealer a long time ago, right? But his dream was to get into the rap game, right? Two major rap artists back in the day was Tupac and Biggie. And we studied out and screamed about Illuminati and his rap war stuff like this. How we don't know that he could have had some dealing between both individuals getting cashed out, and he ended up becoming one of the greatest rappers, so they say, one of the greatest rappers in the rap game. And then he got people saying, Hova, and then you remove the Y and the Z, and you got Jah. So what that is, Jehovah. So now you a god? Totally disrespectful, man. You know what I'm talking about? And, you know, I just wanted to say that, man. You know, don't nobody really know what's going on in that rap thing. He could have had both of them with the guys cashed out. You know what I'm saying? Then he was using some of these lyrics and some of his music. You know what I'm saying? So they got a little more deeper to what the hell they talking about. He could have been used to have some things going on between two individuals. That's just my opinion. I don't know. But all of a sudden, with these two guys get knocked off, that he came with, if anything, Nas should have been over him. You know what I'm talking about? But that's just my opinion, man. I'm love your show. I see you growing, man. Keep doing your thing, man. Like I told you, you're a message of the man of the warrior for God. Black power, power to the people.
Okay. And I'm sorry about that. We're having technical difficulties like always. Everybody always choose best for me. In a minute, but I'll go on to talk through it anyway. Shout out to my boy Eddie. I mean, that's the point that I'm making. you know, just a lot of the disgusting stuff I saw, it was just adults. It was adult people, and I hope I can click on y'all because I'm really, it's really not responding right now. But that gives me time to get my point across. We saw, like I said, we saw adult people really just glorifying and just happy with people dying. I don't even know if people can hear me. But can't go on like that in the mind, people. I continue to talk through whatever going on. But we can't keep going on like this. And we can't keep pulling down our people. We can't keep pulling down humanity because, as I always say, Agenda 21, Agenda 21, Agenda 21. I want to put that in you till you dream about it. Because if we don't care about everybody, they don't so don't care about everybody. You know, they are committed to their agenda, which is they're saying there's too many people on this earth. So in order to do something about it, we must depopulate a mass amount of people. And they ain't saying black people. They're not saying white people. They're saying people. We want to take out a lot of people. So I'm just trying to get up, and what makes it mad with me, I can't even say in the revolutionary world, I can't even say I'm happy to have white friends. I got more than just white friends. I have lived a life of one dimension. I have Cuban friends. I have Spanish friends. I have all types of friends. I'm not a one-dimensional person, so I can't set my mind to think that way. To say one race is evil, that's the most programming that you could ever have. And we, you know, like I said, we thought that, you know, since we became conscious and we picked up a few books, that everything ended. No, we are still in a fight. We are still in a fight. We have to become better spiritual beings. And like I was saying, brothers and sisters, it's bothering me that my screen is frozen. I couldn't even get to my people. So everybody I couldn't get to, shout out to y'all. Please call me personally if you have my phone number, or get back on the next show Thursday, and I'll open up with you guys. But I don't know what's going on, and it's driving me crazy, but I'm not going to let it stop my message. But I know, I just know hundreds of people died in many places. But before I get out of here, I want y'all to think about how many people died in the hood. How many, like my boy T said, how many, he focuses on a 30-mile radius within him because he can't do nothing about what's going on over there. And I posed the question, I said, well, how many of us, since we were so diehard Kenya, since we were going to war, calling people coons, saying we don't care about our people, how many of us would have been willing to uproot, leave our job, leave everything we have, and go there? And go there and give out aid and give out food and give out care? Since we care so much about our people, we have to understand that are we just rambling and doing a bunch of rhetoric and saying we need to stick to our own? Stick to our own and do what? Come up with a plan. As I posed on my stairs, I said, did we come up with a plan for King? Did we come up with a plan for Paris? We do know how they work. Like my boy mentioned 9/11. We have to go back and research a guy named Aaron Russo. R-U-S-S-O. A-A-R-O-N-R-U-S-S-O. Aaron Russo. And he tells you about David Rockefeller and his role in 9/11. I did a show on it a while back. Maybe I should bring that show back. We have to focus who's behind. The thing I said, we didn't even ask who did that. If we understand that ISIS is funded and was given weapons by the U.S. So how could they be terrorists and they, you know, it's mighty funny that they know everything ISIS is doing. We got to think from logic, people, and stop thinking out of emotion. Stop thinking out of anger. You know, whether we do believe in a religion, whether we have, if your religion works for you, let it work, but be the best at it. Like my boy E said, he don't go every day. But the simple fact of, you know, that spirituality, those commandments, if you want to say commandments, those commandments can't stop. Who we are as a people can't stop just because we're not, quote unquote, going to church. We have to recognize that we are the church. We are the church. The church is in us. We are the word. We are the light. We have to shine that light and teach the people to the best of our abilities. I hope I do good shows and able to help, but we got to learn to care. And everybody that's saying sellouts for integrating, what we call, so does that make Malcolm X a sellout? After his pilgrimage to Mecca, when he said color wasn't an issue, he has to get rid of the racist cancer that plagues the world. Did that make him a sellout because he went to Mecca and he slept among his people of all colors? We got to stop saying coon because if you're not doing what a Ben Carson doing, if you're not doing what a Barack Obama doing, if you're not doing what a Raven Simone doing, if you're not doing what a Louis Farrakhan doing, stop giving these people the coon label because you are calling the real ancestors and the true forefathers of what we're doing coons because a lot of them had awakening and they realized that racism was stupid. So if I can leave with any words of encouragement, we never can gloat in nobody's death because sooner or later that same reaper's going to be knocking on our door. Stop judging. Stop making it all about appearances. You know, being, you know, shallow, closed-minded. All of these things, at the end of the day, will it matter? Will it matter that you got a closet full of Jordan? Will it matter that you got a woman with a big behind? Will it matter that you got a man that look a certain way? Will it matter that you got such money in your 401k plan? What matters that you are fighting this enemy? But you have to fight the enemy within first. You have to identify and say, who is the true enemy? They've given you ISIS. They've given you Al-Qaeda. But who? They've given you the Ku Klux Klan. But who is the true enemy? Who is the enemy in your everyday life? Who is the enemy in your house? And I hate I couldn't get to my people because I really wanted to hear messages, but hit me up on my Facebook or my Instagram and I Speak the Truth 34 on Instagram or Antonio Riggins on Facebook. And I'm truly sorry that I couldn't get to you, but like I said, Thursday. But remember this, if we don't care about each other, why the hell should they? If we don't stick with each other, why the hell should they stick with us? They don't care. They don't care about your kids. They don't care about your mind. It's up to you to care. It's up to you to teach your kids. How we gonna teach them we don't have no backbone? How we gonna teach them we running around sleeping with every woman that we see thinking that's cool? But we understand church, but we just land with the devil, don't even understand the soul ties we are creating within ourselves. Wake up, people. You might be awakened to some knowledge, but you got more awakening to do. I ain't got it all figured out, but I'm doing so. Keep asking questions. Never stop praying. Never stop asking questions. What is your purpose, not your job? Pay attention to the signs of what God's doing in your life, the people God is putting around your life. If God puts a special person in your life, you have to identify what is that person's purpose? So I hope I was able to do good. And like I said, I'm really, really, I apologize again about my people I couldn't get to. But until Thursday, I'm out. I can't even go out with music because I'm having technical difficulties. But much love, appreciation, and peace.